This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Hey, it's Amy Brown here to talk about St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. For 60 years, St. Jude doctors and researchers have helped push the overall childhood cancer survivor rate from 20% to more than 80%. But we need your help getting that number to 100%. And most important, your support means that families will never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food. Now, that peace of mind means so much. So join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope and text Bobby to 785-833. That's B-O-B-B-Y to 785-833.
Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest.
I had this title. When I came up with it, I thought, this is great. Somebody's totally going to like this. And I remember I went in to write. It was a group of writers I didn't know that well, and I threw out the title as an idea, and they laughed at me.
They thought you were kidding.
Yeah.
Episode 439, Lauren Watkins. I became a fan of Lauren through other people I'm a fan of. She's like such a cool singer. Didn't know her. So this was cool for me to bring in somebody who's a new artist who I'm a fan of, I think. And then they come in and I'm like, oh yeah, for sure. Like, she's super cool. Follow her, lauren.watkins on Instagram. That way you can even go see what she looks like. But I swear she just got engaged like the day after we did this.
Yeah.
Is that true?
As we're recording this 4 days ago, she got engaged.
Huh.
It was like right before or right after.
It was right. I think it was
right after.
We had her on and I was telling my wife how cool I thought Lauren was because we invited her on this to do the $1 million show, which she did the next, she did call and say, yeah, she wanted to do it. But you'll hear that whole, you know, back and forth. And I was like, yeah, this Lauren Watkins, she's really cool. And then I was like, wait, she just got engaged. She had a ring up to
crazy.
This. Yeah. So a little bit about Lauren. She's got 2 EPs, The Heartbreak and Introducing Lauren Watkins. She'll have new music out this year, but there's a song, Anybody But You, that's really good. She's on the road now with Connor Smith. She's, you know, a Nashville girl, but she didn't grow up in Nashville music. She kind of grew up as a Nashville normal kid. Her sister is a songwriter. But she went to Ole Miss. She graduated college. She did marketing, communications. I mean, she did music young, and she'll talk about that. But then she was like, you know, I'm just going to go live a normal life. But then she couldn't resist. She needed to come get some of this. I don't even know what this town is sometimes. But she's awesome. She's different. She's edgy. But she doesn't try to be. Lauren Watkins. Again, lauren.watkins on Instagram or lar.watkins on TikTok. And she will be playing the $1 million show with the Raging Idiots coming up April the 3rd. I always like to bring new artists, and she's one that I was like, man, I got to bring it. She never played the Ryman, which is super cool. We did that with Lainey.
Yeah.
She never, you know, played the Ryman or anything. We were like, Lainey Wilson. And I said, I'm going to believe in you, and I'm going to make you a star.
And look what happened.
And look what happened. All because of me. Not. All right, here she is, Lauren Watkins. Lauren, it's good to meet you. I texted you last week, and I'm going to keep names out of it, but I've been a big fan of your music and your writing for a while through association because people would just talk about how some of the words refreshing, bad AA you were, like things like that. People that I trust,
so nice.
People that I know. Yeah. One of them being Nicole, who I've known for a long time.
Yeah.
Both as a songwriter and as an artist. When I went and hosted the Today Show for a week, I brought her with me and was like, yeah, come perform on the Today Show. Aww. So like, I genuinely think she's awesome. And when somebody awesome says that somebody's awesome, you give them a listen. So you come very highly recommended. Thanks. And then I would just listen to your stuff. And one of my friends hit me up, and you know the story, but just for my listeners, I won't say who the friend is. He said, hey, I'm looking for somebody to do a song with, immediately came to my mind. Even though we've never met, I was like, you got to call Lauren Watkins.
That's so sweet.
And he was like, what's her number? I was like, I have no idea.
But I'll figure it out.
I was like, I've actually never met her. But then, you know, I got your number and I remember texting you going, hope this isn't creepy.
Not at all.
It's like, yeah, no, this is, it's popping up. It's just a number.
You're like, sorry for the random text.
Yeah, sorry for the random text. I'm not creeping here. But like, that's how much, even before we get started, I respect you as a songwriter, but even as an artist, like in your sound, because I'm sure, and I'll start with this before we get back to the into the depth of who you are. I'm sure there have been people, because you do have a bit of a different sound sonically, vocally, like there, it is a bit edgier.
Thanks.
That some people may be like, I don't know, that a little aggressive.
Yeah.
Did that happen to you at all?
Yeah, I think anything that's like a risk, it's just anything that comes off as a risk, like, scares people. And to me, it's not risky because it's just like who I am.
Right.
And it's just the way that I sing or the way that I write. So I just try to think of it as that. And yeah, it definitely can rub people wrong, but I don't care.
Your accent is definitely a Southern accent, but did you grow up here?
Yeah, I grew up here.
People that grew up in Nashville either don't have, like, it's like Iowa, where they don't have an accent, or they say, well, I'm from Arkansas, so I have an accent, but I've had to get rid of a lot of it. Or they sound like they're from Tennessee, which is you.
Do I?
Yeah. Did you live in the city, or were you in, like, the rural part of Tennessee?
I wouldn't say rural, but I wouldn't say city either. I mean, you know how it is in Nashville. People, yeah, like, a lot of times people outside of Nashville assume that you live, like, on Broadway,
mm-hmm,
you know? And I just grew up in the suburbs.
Did your parents grow up in Nashville?
My mom grew up in Nashville, and my dad is from Mississippi. So that's probably where some of
that's
the Southern
a lot
comes
of it.
From.
Because
half of my family's there, and then the other half is here. So they went to Ole Miss, met there, and, you know, my mom was like, we're not going back to your small town. We're going to Nashville.
An Ole Miss couple, huh?
An Ole Miss couple, yeah.
I've been, and I, you know, I'm from Arkansas, and I've been to Ole Miss a bunch of times, mm-hmm, and the Grove, you know, where they tailgate before games, and it's very like Southern frou-frou.
It is.
I don't really take you as frou-frou, and I'm not saying you are because your parents met there, but
yeah, no, it definitely, the Grove, it can definitely be frou-frou. Mm-hmm. Like people have, for anybody who hasn't been, like, it's just the tailgate spot, mm-hmm, and people come and they pack tables and tents, and people will even put chandeliers in the tents.
Oh, it's the craziest.
You've seen
it's
it.
Like the...
It's wild.
The flexiest, richest tailgate I've ever seen, but purposefully.
Yeah.
Like, it's part of the culture.
Yeah.
And you don't even hate on it because you just know that's what Ole Miss...
No, it's just, it's tradition,
yeah,
really. Like, it's just tradition. But it's also like fancy rednecks.
Absolutely. And I've learned, even with myself, if you give a redneck some money, weird things happen.
They're going to do different stuff with it than your average person.
So... Did you yourself go to Ole Miss?
Yeah.
So your legacy?
Yeah. Is that what they call it?
I guess.
I'm a legacy.
Yeah. How did you like your experience there?
I loved it. I would do it 100 times really? Over again. Like, I really, really did love it. And I was kind of like, I was one of those kids that, like, it was just in my blood. I grew up going to the games. My parents, my dad especially, is a diehard Ole Miss fan. So is his dad. And I just knew I wanted to go there. My parents had such great stories of just college and what that was like, and I never questioned it. I literally never considered going anywhere
It was
else.
Always in your mind that you were going to go to Oxford.
Yeah.
What's the drive there from here, though? 4?
It's like exactly 4 hours.
That's just so not annoying
easy.
Enough.
Yeah, it's so easy.
Like,
it was so,
5, it starts annoying.
5, it's a day. Like, it's a travel day.
What did you study?
I studied marketing.
And did you really study with the idea of I'm something in marketing, or were you going because you wanted to go to Ole Miss, your parents went to Ole Miss, and you were going to get a degree, but you really wanted to do music?
I had no idea what I wanted to do, and I didn't know I was going to do music. I went kind of with, basically, I mean, I grew up playing music. Me and my older sister grew up singing together, playing gigs. She started writing songs. I kind of watched her do that. Didn't know if I could do it, but I just thought, oh, that's cool. I guess it's possible to do that. And when I was a senior in high school, I was kind of like just ready to get out. I was sick of it here. I liked growing up here, but I was done. Like any kid in their hometown, I like to say. I mean, I was over it. And I was like, get me out. Knew I wanted to go to Ole Miss. And also the truth is music was a hobby for me. I just loved doing it. I didn't think this is going to be my career. Probably a lot of that was fear. I was scared of doing it alone because I'd always done it with my sister. And I also had grew up watching her story, which was just totally different. She was like you know, kind of the classic, she signed a publishing deal right out of high school, went to Belmont, stayed in Nashville. Like, she was hardcore doing that from the get-go. And I kind of thought that was the only way. For whatever reason, that made me think, all right, well, I either skip college and do music now, or I go to college and I can never do music again. So I just thought, all right, well, I'm out of here. I'm going to college, whatever, where life takes me. And about 2 years in, I it was this pull that was always kind of there, and I would just ignore it. And eventually, I think, like, what you're called to do is always going to just take over everything else. And so eventually it got too strong for me to ignore, and I knew that as soon as I was graduated, I was coming back to Nashville to do music.
How much older is your sister?
She's 2 years older.
Okay, so not like she can give you sage advice. She can give you advice because she's got 2 years on you, but it's not like she's 52.
Yeah, and no, we're in it together in a lot of ways. Yeah.
And so when you left, because she had done a lot with you, I guess she wasn't emotionally as dependent on you being a part of what she was doing as
were. No. Yeah, she had been, because a lot of what she was doing was songwriting stuff. She kind of tried the artist thing for a little while, but her main gig was songwriting. That was really all she wanted to do. And a lot of it she was letting me tag along for out of just the goodness of her heart. She'd let me get up and sing background vocals with her. And then a lot of stuff we just fully did together. But no, she wanted me to stay. Like, she wanted me to what I wanted to do, but she also knew I wasn't going to stay. I was going to go to college. And so she wanted that for me.
The music part in your family, did your sister get the bug, or did your parents pass it down to her in some way?
No, they're not musical.
At all?
No. People always ask that, just, I guess, being from Nashville.
Yeah.
But we had no idea what the music industry was when we were growing up. I have musical people in my family. My grandmother and her dad were both so good on piano, just had a very natural musical ear, never took a lesson in their life, couldn't read music, but just could play anything. And then I have some cousins that sing and write, but nobody who was really going for it where we got any sort of taste of the music industry. It was really my older sister who started kind of getting out there when she was like 13. And
where did that come from in her? Did she have friends around that was doing it?
I don't know. I think the two of us just loved music so much. And when you grow up here, it's not like we're surrounded by people doing it, but it just seems that much possible.
That's a good point, because a lot of times, even myself included, I'm from a very small town in Arkansas, nothing seemed possible because nobody did it anywhere.
Yeah.
I didn't even know a person who told jokes or was on the radio or on TV. Like, that was Hollywood, that was New York, where you can grow up the same socioeconomically as me here, but you literally can see that it is almost a tangible thing that people get. And you don't have to be a superhero. You just have to work hard and be pretty good.
Yeah.
And so I can see where being from Nashville would actually be an advantage there, because it was something that you see as somewhat attainable.
Yeah.
As a kid, did you ever go to school with any kids that were in music, or their parents were big music?
I think I probably did, but I didn't know it. I think some kids probably had parents who were big shots in the music industry, and I just had no idea.
But it wasn't even such a big deal that people didn't know them as...
No.
That's cool. Well, that's also pretty normal.
Yeah, it was normal.
Yeah.
And you're so right. Like you said, when you growing up in Arkansas, you probably were going, I have this passion and this talent. I know it's in me, but where do I go with it?
Like, and who do I ask questions about it to?
Yeah.
Because nobody... It was... You just went to work at the mill. You went to work somewhere near. Mm-hmm. You didn't even leave.
Yeah.
But here, it would have been cool. I always wanted to live in a big city growing up because of you just have resources.
Yeah.
There are tall buildings, and in tall buildings there are people that are making decisions. It's how I always associated it. When I moved to Little Rock, they had like three tall buildings. And I was like, I'm here.
Let's go.
Yeah, I was like, I did
I've made it.
I'm in Little Rock. So being here, did you like country music, or was it there was country music, so you didn't like country music?
No, I loved country music. I loved it. I liked country music way more than I liked the town itself. And I don't know, I guess that comes from, I mean, I guess the love of country music just comes from it being everywhere. But also, there were kids in Nashville that hated country music.
If you're so close to it, you're gonna hate it or love it.
Yeah.
And probably you're gonna go back and forth.
Totally, yeah. Which I always loved it, but I vividly remember, because when you're a kid, so like tunnel vision, I just didn't know that, wow, there's people that don't like country. And I vividly remember this girl. It was like close to summertime. We were like in eighth grade. And she was like, it's getting warmer outside. It's about time for country music season. And I was like, huh? What does that even mean? Like, I had no idea what she meant by that. And then it dawned on me, oh, there's people that only listen to it in the summer? That's so weird. Couldn't
so
be
can,
me.
So they can put on shorts and cutoffs. Yeah. And,
which I get that.
And cosplay, basically.
Yeah, cosplay country. Yeah. But which I totally get that, but not me. I listen to it all year round, and I don't know. I just love it.
Did you do music at Ole Miss at all?
Not really. That was kind of one of the things that made me want to come back to it so much, is that I missed it. Like, I was always, everywhere that I lived, you know, every different apartment I lived, I always had my guitar with me. I was always playing every day, singing in my room every day, or writing or whatever, but I wasn't performing.
Did people know you as Lauren the singer-songwriter, or were you just Lauren, but you also secretly kind of played and sung?
They kind of knew me as this girl that...
Because you would do it with amongst friends?
Yeah, like my roommates would get me drunk and talk me into playing in our living room. But what was cool to me about it was, before, when I was in Nashville, I kind of was always known as Lauren, the girl who sings with her sister, which I loved that, but I knew I could do it on my own. And so it was nice because when I got to college, nobody even knew I had a sister at first. Everybody just knew me as Lauren, the girl that sings by herself.
Which is,
I liked that.
Refreshing. Mm-hmm. When you came back, is your sister still here?
Yeah, she's a songwriter in town.
And did you feel like you had to still establish we're different, or you were just gone for 4 years, so you weren't first her sister. You were first Lauren, this girl who wants to pursue music and write. And then, she's also the sister.
I think we both at first, like when I came back, I think we both at first felt a little bit like, okay, we got to make sure we have a good amount of separation. But we knew we wanted to work together because, I mean, she's a killer songwriter. I mean, she taught me so much that I know about songwriting, and she knows me so well, so we just write good together. So we kind of just had to figure out a balance of how much can we work together while also having separate.
Didn't want to change your name, though. You don't want to be like Lauren Wilson.
Yeah. No.
That's what some of the guys do whose dad's famous, like Bob Dylan's son, Jacob Dylan.
Yeah.
Forever, he wouldn't go by Dylan. My dad is actually Bob Barker, but I changed it to Bones. Because I don't want anybody to know that.
I like it. I mean, I just feel like I'm so used
to my name. Do you know who Bob Barker is?
No.
Okay, so I totally missed. I thought she was just playing along with a bit, but then I realized she's in her 20s and she probably doesn't know who Bob Barker is. Price is Right.
Wait, is your name not really?
Barker?
Yeah, it is Bob Barker. Wait.
My name?
Yeah.
No. I'm Ryan Seacrest.
Bob, nice to meet you.
Bob Barker was the host of Price is Right, the really old guy.
Okay, yeah.
And he'd be like, spay and neuter your pets.
You know what's terrible is I have a Price is Right t-shirt, but I don't know who that is.
And my name is Bobby Bones.
Yeah, I'm a fan. I know, but I thought you were saying your name originally
was
something.
That was a joke.
Oh.
That was a joke. That I was Bob Barker's son. But it was a terrible joke because it's way too... I could have made a Mr. T reference.
But your real name is Bobby Bones.
No, my real name is Bobby Estill.
Okay. And I used to not. Now I don't know if you're serious.
No, I am serious. And I used Mike Vouch.
Pull out your birth certificate.
Well, I used to not say it, but my wife.
I'm not sure about this.
Goes by. She was like, I'm not going by Caitlin Bones because Bones is kind of stupid anyway. And she was like, I'm just going to go by my real name. I'm not going by your stage name. So we got married. My wife's quite independent, where it's like awesome 93% of the time.
Yeah.
And her name is Caitlin Estill. And so that's her name. People just go, oh, that's your real name. I'm like, yeah, it is. So it's all out there because she was just like, but she also wanted to change our last name, meaning not take it. Because I was like, you can keep Parker. That was her maiden name. I'm all for the movement. Stay, you, we'll be married, but you can not change your name. She said, no, because, you know, eventually when we have kids, we want them to have not the confusion. But my name, because we're from Arkansas, they would always say it, Estill. Right, yeah. Estill. But she says her name, Caitlin Estill. And I'm like, that's not our name. And she's like, yeah, it is to me. My name's Caitlin Estill.
It's her name now.
Yes. I was like, you can't change my name. And she said, when you talk to people that you don't know, that's calling like credit card companies, you say Estill. I said, because it's spelled that way, but my name is Bobby Estill. But to her, it's Caitlin Estill. And I'm not Bob Barker's son, and you didn't change your last name. This is for the separation. But luckily, your name's pretty common, so people won't assume every Watkins is
related. Who knows?
Do you guys still bounce ideas off each other? Or is there any sort of competitiveness, like fun competitiveness?
With me and my sister?
Yeah,
I think there's healthy competitiveness, but it's also weird. I mean, I'm hoping that we have so much success together, as much success together as we do outside of each other. But yeah, there's a healthy competitiveness. It's fun.
For the first time, and you, I'm sure you were way graduated into a great mental health space than I've ever been in. But for the first time in like the last year, I understood having a healthy jealousy and a healthy that I actually rooted for the person and also was still a little jealous, but I was actually very happy that they were achieving.
Yeah.
That to me was
tough to do.
Major breakthrough for me because I think everybody, let's kill them all. I'm the only one. And I have to, because if somebody else has it, I can't have it. And that means I'm not good enough, right? I struggle.
Scarcity mindset.
Yes.
Yeah. Same.
I finally have a friend that his name's Charlemagne and he works in New York, but he does huge things and I'm like so happy for him, but I'm still a little bit jealous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it also motivates me. And do you and your sister have that? Does she have that towards you now a little bit?
Probably. I think we probably both have a little bit of it. Like it keeps you moving. I mean, it's the same that we have with all of our other really close friends that we write together. Like I think it just keeps you moving. But the thing I like about, and this is not to be like a everybody wins answer, but I really like about Nashville is it's so collaborative that you kind of can't succeed if you're not willing to be like to work with other people and be happy for them, you know?
Well, that part, I know people who want
to be happy. And it's hard to do. It's really hard to do. But I've just kind of had to learn that like, well, you really can't make it here if you can't figure out how to like people and
or fake it.
Root for them or at least fake it, you know?
Hang tight. The Bobbycast will be right back. And we're back on the Bobbycast.
Yeah. What is your perfect environment for a write? Do you like starting at 9 a.m., go 9 to 2 or 3? Do you like 2, 3? Like, what is the perfect environment? On your calendar, you have a write, and it's like, this is what I like.
Lately, I like retreats, which means you leave
you
down.
You have to go, and
I get to get out of here. That's just nice because I usually am on retreats with people that I'm really close with, and it's just nice. There's something so, I can't really explain it, but I feel something when I leave Nashville.
Well, all the distractions of home aren't here.
Yes.
So it's not, there's 83 things that you could and should be doing if you're here that's like little things.
Yeah.
Errands.
Yeah.
But you can't do that when you're at a beach.
You're fully removed from it and you're focused on one thing. And like you said about the whole competitiveness. I mean, there's something to not being in one room over from somebody who you feel competitive with. Like it just kind of adds a stress to the building, you know, whether anyone will admit that or not. It's true. It's tough to be around people that you're working with and against. And, you know, it's nice to just get away from all of it. And you're not thinking about anything. You're just with your people.
And there's a lot of connection when you're off and out, right? You're able to connect even with the people that you're with a lot more. Do you like to go on these retreats for you as the artist, or do you go for you as a writer for other artists? What are you mostly doing?
I would totally do that because I just love to write, but lately I've been doing them for me, like just writing for my projects and getting songs for me.
Okay, now listen, Nashville only. What's the perfect write? Give me the time you'd like to start. And we won't say the time. You can't say 15 minutes later. But let's say it's a typical, like 9 to 2 or 9. Like, give me what 5-hour window would you like to write?
I like to write at 11, which is very, very standard. But I like it. I don't love to get up at the crack of dawn. I like to get up at 7-ish and get a good workout in before and take my time showering and getting ready and then show up to write. And then I feel like I'm the most clear-headed. And also, everybody feels so differently about this, which I think is interesting. But I like to have almost a cutoff time, not a cutoff time where you feel like you might not finish, but 11 to let's say 4. That's plenty of time to write a song. And then after 4, I can do my meetings and interviews, whatever else I need to do. Some people like to do the opposite. They like to get all that out at first and then do the creative at the end of the day, which I totally get that. And I would think that I would be that way. But for me, it's hard. By the end of the day, I'm so beat. My mind is, I can't like create.
I also, for me, a deadline at times, if I'm a little too passive or I'm not feeling anything. If I have a deadline, I at least will take something that I'm kind of feeling and run with it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that gets traction.
Yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't. But I feel, I'm like you, where I like to have that line. I'll schedule things past that line that I have to be done, because it at least makes me commit to something and not waste a full freaking day going, I'm not good enough. I'm not funny.
Yes. So, it cuts the overthinking.
Yeah, it does. Which I can be because better. It has to. Yeah. Otherwise, you just spent a whole day wasted, and you have somebody with you working, and you wasted their day too.
And then you're all frustrated because you didn't get what you wanted. And
do you keep notes in your phone for ideas constantly?
Oh, yeah.
How many times do you go to your phone a day to write something? Not a song, not a lyric, but just an idea.
Oh, that's a good question. A few, sometimes none, and sometimes five times. It just depends on the day. But it's funny that you say that, because I've been trying to, like, my New Year's resolution kind of is to use my phone less. I have no structure.
That doesn't count, though. I don't think keeping organization in phone does not count as using your phone.
Well,
if you're on social media, I understand that.
Yeah. But the reason I say that is because I thought I was just thinking of ways that I could just leave my phone and not touch it for a certain amount of time. And then I thought, well, song ideas, like, what am I going to do?
You must have it.
I can't bring a notebook with me everywhere I go. I mean, I guess I could.
No, you can't.
But I don't want to do that.
Absolutely not.
I don't want to.
Yeah, I have. Do you keep yours organized differently? And I'll ask you why. Because I have, for example,
I need to look.
I keep a list of the lies I tell, just generally.
That's good.
For a couple of reasons. One, I try to not lie as much if I'm embellishing a story for creative. If I'm like really entertaining and I'm, that's a bit different. But sometimes, and the example that I've used, because I haven't really lied that much in the past week and a half or so. It's pretty great for me. And the last, I was talking. I was like, hey, I talked to this person. It turns out I didn't talk to them. I just texted with them. And I was like, that's a lie. I'm going to write it down. I hear you. But I felt for the dynamic of the story when I was like, I talked to them. I felt like I was misleading them a little bit.
Yeah.
So I wrote it down. So I have all these, I have like lies I've told because I'm trying to lie less, and I think about it more if I know I have to write it down.
That's
true. Even if it's a lie, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So I have the lie list, and then I have bits that I think are, for example, like I have this paper, rock, scissors thing. I don't lose paper, rock, scissors. If I do 100, I might lose 2.
Wow.
I'm great at paper, rock, scissors because it's like poker. I can read.
I'm not going to ask to test it.
I mean.
I don't like it.
Absolutely. So and then I have a thing like Morgan runs a podcast network and it's like, get this person to Morgan. And then I have a whole thing on bits that I want to do. And then I have something about Harry Houdini. I was reading about him. I have one of my friends that wears a cowboy hat, but he's not a cowboy. And my thoughts on that. Then I have a song idea one.
That's a good thought.
So I have all these different.
You're pretty organized, structured.
I have to be, because if I'm not, there's no organization whatsoever. It's a tornado.
Okay. Yeah.
How do you organize yours? Or just lap it all down and go back? Because then I can't remember why I wrote it down.
Yeah. I've tried to separate it by title versus line idea or concept, but it never sticks. I literally just have, like right now, my song title list is called December Ideas. I don't know why it's called December. It's February, but that's what I've been rolling with.
You just haven't changed the header.
And then I'll just eventually, like, and then the one before that was called, like, New Ideas. Like, I'll just come up with a list until I get tired of it, and I don't like anything on there anymore, and then I start a new one. There's no rhyme or reason, but it's mostly titles.
What does it take to delete something forever that you never got to? Will you ever finally, I'm such a list guy, and I like to black everything out when it's done. I like to, so I'm very, like, control freak about if it's here, I got it. So I set the deadline on time too.
Yeah, I can be that way too.
But it's hard for me to delete something forever if I felt like it was worthy of writing it down at one point. Mm-hmm. Will you ever just go, this is stupid, I'm never going to get to it, delete?
Yeah, I've totally done that. But I've stopped doing that because Nicole is somebody who told me, she said, never do that because you don't know when. You might look at it on a different day and it hits you totally differently. And then you go, oh, I got it. And that's happened before. And also, I had this title that I thought was, when I came up with it, I thought, this is great. Somebody's totally going to like this. And I remember I went in to write and it was a group of writers I didn't know that well. And I threw out the title as an idea and they laughed at me.
They thought you were kidding.
Yeah. I was like, okay.
Anyway, I was just kidding, guys.
Anyways, and so I thought about, well, I guess I'm never going to write that. Then a year later, I brought it to my friends, and I was like, so I got laughed at for this idea, but I think y'all will see what I mean. And they loved it. We wrote the song, and it's so good, and it's going to come out eventually, so I'm not going to say what it is. But if I would have deleted that, then I never would have had what I do now. And thank God I didn't. I mean, I think songs find the right people to be written with.
Yeah, and you're probably a bit more comfortable with your friends to go, I was laughed at for this.
Oh, yeah.
But I'd like to share it. And if you want to laugh at me, that's okay.
I won't hurt my feelings as much.
Yeah, because I'd have thrown my whole phone away.
I know.
If I had laughed at me, I'd have been like, well, not just to delete that.
Made me insecure.
I'm throwing this whole thing out of here.
Yeah.
Anybody but you, it's all. I love it.
Thank you.
It's a great song.
Thanks.
Why that one? Because it's not like you have 17 albums out there. You have to be very selective now. You have to be with the music you release when you kind of launch yourself.
Yeah.
Why that song?
Why did I release it?
Yeah. Why did you select that one?
I mean, it's just so college. And on that EP specifically, pretty much all songs, I was so fresh out of college when I wrote. I think that shows in a cool way. And
You did two EPs last year, right?
I did. Yeah, two.
Yeah, got it.
The first one was, you know, just trying to introduce me and where I've been and what I've been through. And that just felt so right and part of introducing me. Because, I mean, a big part of me is the fact that I did the whole SEC school experience. That so many of my life experiences came from that. You know, whether I like it or not, that is a huge part of me and my songwriting. And so...
Oh, did not like it.
Right. Not that I wouldn't like it, but just that's such a small part of life. Like, that's such a short period of time. But truth is, so my, like, huge heartbreak or just life memories came from that. So it is what it is.
I mean, I still live it. I still love it. I'm big SEC. I've been doing it for forever.
I love it.
It's my favorite thing in the whole world. Like, we're going to Razorback games tomorrow. You know, we're in Fayetteville. But yeah, you're like, it's a small part. I feel like a loser. I'm going to throw my phone out the room now because you're like, I did my 4 years and I'm up. And I'm like, I haven't.
No. I don't mean all. I mean, like, I'm still like, I'm so fresh out of that. Like, that was only 2-3 mm-hmm. years ago. And to me, it's like these dramatic years.
Did you live in the dorm at first?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I think everybody, not stay in the dorm, because you'll outgrow the dorm quick.
Yeah.
But for me, that's where I met even some friends I have today.
Me too.
What was the dorm like for you?
It was fun.
Was yours co-ed?
No, is we had basically two, the ones that I lived in, it was one building of girls and one building of guys, and they were neighbors, so they like connected at the bottom. So like when you'd come home, like you'd run into people in the lobby, but like up in the rooms.
Could they go up to the rooms? Were they supposed to?
I don't know.
We couldn't.
That they could like during the day, but there was like an hour. There were hours for it.
We couldn't. Not even if they could, it would have
really
mattered. I'd have never had a girl. Yeah, no. I think girls knew I lived in that dorm and they stayed away from the whole building.
Yeah.
Like it was like North and North Magnet, where it was like pushed them away. How long were you in the dorm?
Sure. Just a year. Just freshman year.
And then?
And then I moved into kind of these little condos. They're really a bunch of townhouses where I was in a sorority. And so this is at Ole Miss. I don't know if this is everywhere, but Ole Miss does this thing where they like sororities will kind of not buy, but like get a deal with like a condo complex or an apartment. And so all the girls in that year, like this year, it was our sophomore year. We all lived in these condos together. So I was living with girls in my sorority, which was really fun.
The Bobby Cast. We'll be right back.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com.
TECOVAS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey, it's Bobby Bones.
I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only six numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
This is the Bobbycast.
I wrote in my first book about how I got to Nashville, and I was a little out of control for a while. Not partying, but I just never had access to anything. And then all of a sudden, not drugs, not coke, not that.
No, I'm following.
But just like, okay, girls, I'll just say it.
Yeah. You can be honest.
And I never had nobody, but when I got here, I had a like 2 years that I was like, man, I went hard. I'm done.
Yeah.
Was school like that? Was Ole Miss like that for you? Or did moving to Nashville, are you doing that now?
That's a good question. I was definitely also very sheltered in high school. Like, I had seen nothing. So when I got to college, it was such a culture shock. And so I definitely had fun in college. But I had fun all 4 years. We'll just say that. Like,
I
really
did. You said enough right there.
I did.
Yeah.
And so then when I came, like, I've been back home for what, 2 years now, I guess? Ish, I don't know. Whenever 2021 was is when I moved back.
All years are now void because I don't know what you're.
Whatever, yeah. It doesn't matter. But now, like, I kind of got the partying out of my system, and I'm slowing down now.
Yeah, I spent all the money on going on lots of dates, and I'm done too.
Yeah.
Never thought I was gonna get married. Met my wife, and
when did y'all get married?
2 years.
So it's been 2 years.
Well, we wanted to celebrate you moving back to Nashville by getting married.
Totally.
So it was right around.
I could feel it.
Yeah, it was right around that time. I was reading an article about you, and they had said something about you. It was a weird term. It was called like barstool chic.
I know what you're thinking of, and I can't think of it.
It was Mike. Do you remember the term?
Barstool charm.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
You had barstool charm, and I didn't know whether.
I don't know what that means. If you're gonna ask.
I don't know what it means either, and I could look at it in both ways. I think barstool charm. Barstool would mean one of us, normal.
Yeah.
Cool. Relatable.
Go to the bar.
But it also, yes. It also
probably
like,
means more of that.
What did you read that? Have you seen people call you that? Or the article?
Yeah, oh, okay. No, I've seen it.
So what did you take that as? I wouldn't have said Barstool Charm, but I didn't know you. I still wouldn't say Barstool Charm.
I think a lot of my songs are set in a bar. And maybe I'm able to make it seem more charming than it really is. That's how I took it.
Good for you.
Like I romanticize things.
I would have found the super negative. Anything about me, I turned super negative. So yeah, good for
not
you.
Not me. I was like, how can this be a good thing?
Well, you're like the heartbreak, for example. Mm-hmm. That is not a positive thing. That's the whole, it's the name of the whole project there.
Yeah.
You got to be pretty vulnerable to even talk about heartbreak. I mean, a second ago, how hard, how easy was that? And then especially if people know you're singing about them.
Like how... Wait, say that again.
This is multi-layered.
Yeah, okay.
Hold on. If you're writing a song about having heartbreak in general, or you have a project that's called Heartbreak.
Yeah.
That heartbreak had to come from root.
Yes.
So first of all, you have to talk about it. And that is like, here, I'm going to open my ribs up. I'm vulnerable.
Yeah.
But then it's the person that maybe broke your heart also getting to do a victory lap because they get to hear you singing about it. Like that to me... my ego totally wouldn't allow that.
No, I get that. Yeah. And honestly, those are all thoughts that crossed my mind at some point, but just kind of went in one ear
good
and out the
you.
Other. Cause I was just like, whatever. These are things I got to get off my chest. And, but I also, the songs are probably about lots of different people, not just one.
Oh, I completely agree. But there's a lot of different people. Then there's like, she wrote the song.
Lots of people doing victory laps. Yes.
Or they're wrong. And they think it's about, it's not. And they're telling their friends.
I kind of like that though, because it's sort of like, I don't know. It's kind of funny if they think it's about them and it's really not.
See, I would be so irritated. It's like, you're not even worth the song. Why do you think that's about you? See, that's why I wouldn't be good. No, there's a lot of reasons I wouldn't be good at songwriting, but that's the part where I would really struggle, was like to give somebody else like a little bit of shine where they were.
No, I totally get that. And you know, I guess what I'll say to that is my songs are for, they're more for the people that I'm singing to rather than the people I'm singing about. So those people can think whatever they think, but I just try not to care about it.
Have you written anything ever and then someone heard it and you guys weren't good and they heard it and they were like, you know what? That spoke to me. And then you were good again.
Like a guy?
Sure. It could be a, it could even be a friend. Okay. like some dude.
I definitely burned bridges. Yes. If there was a bridge left, it was burned with the songs.
But you didn't burn it so bad it kind of rebuilt itself.
No.
Yeah, good for you.
I don't think so.
Yeah, good for you. What's the most unexpected place that you've played? Like difficult to play because people weren't even really paying attention.
Oh my gosh. That's happened so many times. You know, I'm going to say something that could be controversial. Nashville is tough to play.
Oh, hey, clip that mic.
I'm sure you can.
This is going to really be controversial. We're getting a lot of hits on that one.
That is Mark.
Yes.
I mean, I know you can probably like understand.
Nashville sucks to play.
It sucks.
I'll say I hate playing shows here.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to say a bunch of mean stuff so then it doesn't make you look as
good. Okay.
So I'll cover for you, but then you follow me. Okay. I hate playing shows in Nashville. I love the people that live in Nashville that are that come to my shows. I hate playing shows in Nashville because there are two things that happen. One, there's this like, all right, impress me expectation because I don't perform here. I'm on the road all the time if I'm doing stand up. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm finally doing a show here, it's people that just like see pictures on Instagram. Like, okay, well, let's see how good you really are.
Yeah.
That vibe exists, first of all.
For sure.
There are peers that finally want to come out and go like, all right, well, let's see what you got.
That competitiveness.
Yes. And then you want to hear something back from, and then it starts to be unhealthy. And then it's also like 10-hour meet and greets with everybody who you know and that live here and that want to come and see. So Nashville is the worst place to, I love Nashville and the people, but for the industry, it's hard because it's not just going to do a show for people that want to be entertained. Mm-hmm. It's also going to do a show for people that want you to prove you're worth the crap and worth.
Yeah.
And that to me is why it's hard for me here.
You said it best. I mean, I literally, that's everything I'm thinking you just said. And it's a shame. Like, it hurts me as a native because, I mean, when I was growing up, like I said, I had no, like, foot in the industry. I didn't know that even existed. So when I was going to concerts, I was in the front row, screaming my head off, not caring about who was there or whatever. I just wanted to be there. And, yeah, it's tough. Now it does feel like everything you just said, it's a lot of people just trying to be too cool. And the thing is, the people, this is funny, like the people who matter, and by matter, I just mean like kind of the big shots in the industry, like people who are really like, I don't know, the people that you want to impress, they're not really trying to be too cool. They're just there doing their job, like there to cheer you on. But it's the people that are like,
insecure.
Maybe
And I'm insecure, and I say that from an insecure place. I'm not insecure in that way.
Yeah.
But I'm insecure in a lot of ways.
Me too.
It's definitely a place of, if somebody else roots for you, or somebody else says, wow, you're really good, that must mean to them that they're not. I struggle with the same thing, but in different ways.
Oh, same.
So there are probably peers of yours or any artist that's at a show and is a little bit jealous, but can't be healthy about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nashville is hard.
It's hard. And I also think people like, even as simple as yelling out during a show, yelling and screaming, cheering. People don't want to do, they're scared. People are looking at them. Oh, who's in the room? Who's going to see me look stupid?
Yeah.
And a lot of my songwriter friends and I love to protest against that. And we'll go to our friend shows in town and just be the biggest fans. Because that's what you want.
Absolutely.
I mean, you work so hard. You're on the road. And you get so excited to come home and play a show for your people, and then it's like that, and it's sort of sad.
One of my best friends is Brett Eldridge. We've like best friends, and again, this is a two-part story. We don't get to see each other perform.
Yeah,
he's on the road.
That's a thing.
Never do we get to see each. And so, like one time in the past 2 or 3 years, he came to one of my shows. Because otherwise, if I'm here, that's like one weekend day a year.
Yeah,
and it has the time just right. So he came to one of my shows, and then he does his Christmas shows at the Ryman. Mm-hmm. And so I went to the Ryman to watch. I gave him like 9 standing ovations. And people were looking at me like, what are you doing? I was like, ah!
Well, he deserves it.
I would stand, but I would get other people to come up.
Yeah.
And there was a point where I felt like he looked at me. He's like, I get it, dude.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, I gave him some solids.
But people need permission. Yes.
But I just thought it was so cool. Yeah. And my wife.
Good for you for doing that.
Oh, yeah. Because some people don't. We were sitting there with a bunch of people in the industry. And they're. And then if you're in any other city, people would be going nuts.
They'd be going crazy.
My wife had, we had been hanging out with Brett. You know, once a week, twice a week for 3 or 4 years, like very close. My wife had never seen it before.
Really?
Yeah, knew his music, fine, but
yeah,
never seen him sing in real life. For her birthday every year, he'll sing at dinner. He does like a song from Oklahoma or whatever.
Yeah.
But she'd never seen him. And my wife's funny, and she will cut you, but she'll be honest. You know, she's always going to be. It reminds me of you a little bit too, with it, just how I feel like your music is.
Uh-huh.
Like I feel like when you're singing and you have a message, like you're being honest about it, even if it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And my wife is like that. And so she was like, I hope this does not feel douchey. And I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, I've never seen him sing. I only know him as this kind of, if he comes out and it's douchey, I don't know what I'm going to do. Cause she'll tell me sometimes that joke wasn't good or that was. And so he comes out I'm watching her. And then she starts crying. And she's like, this is so good. I didn't.
Wow.
She was like, I didn't know that version. But she was like so happy and proud for him because she saw him in a different, like his element. Like you said, it's what you're pulled to do.
Yeah.
But then even she was like, man, these people should be going a little crazier for
this
than they are. But yeah, that's the town. It's a bunch of
creators. It's just the too cool. It's just people being too cool. But I just try not to let it. It gets to me, but I try not to let it because then I don't want it to affect the show.
Also,
I don't want to let that
go. I get too tight too. If I'm like trying to impress people that I think I should impress, I'm not as good.
Me either.
If I'm so focused on being perfect, I'm not going to be great.
Me too.
Because I'm so dialed in on, I got to do it just right to be perfect. And then there's no spontaneity. There's no
exactly.
freedom in it.
Yeah.
How many shows, because I know you did the Morgan Wallen. That's massive, by the way.
Yeah.
It's like.
Huge. I don't know how I got there.
Well, no, I could guess how you got there because like you're really, your music's great.
Thank
as
you.
A songwriter, you're great. You guys have, it's just awesome. I think you
Thank
deserve
you.
It for sure.
That
and
is
I,
so
and
nice.
When I saw it announced, I was like, that's awesome. I don't know her, but that is such a big, like that setting is large.
It's totally different.
I feel like there's not really been a middle ground for, like you've played shows, mm-hmm. but now it's like, we're going to go do some stadiums.
Yeah. I'm so excited, but I'm so nervous.
Good.
If I'm being honest.
That means it matters, though. That's awesome. You should be.
And yeah, it's just totally different than what I'm used to. It's funny because I played a couple shows with him last year in arenas, which, you know, not stadium, but still
arena's
absolutely
huge.
Massive.
Yeah. But even that's the huge jump, right? Because you go, that's the major leagues.
Yes. Because I think the biggest thing I noticed that was different was, I've been playing clubs right now. So, you know, smaller rooms, but they're packed and people are right up on the stage. They're literally, you can reach out and touch them sometimes, or they'll hand you their cell phone and get you to take a picture. But with arenas or stadiums, there's a level of separation. And those guys that do it all the time, I don't know how, I think that, I guess you just have to learn how to still connect. When you're separated, but I'm so new, I don't know. I'm learning. I'm trying to figure it out.
We were in Tallahassee yesterday. We were doing a sports show that I do, and we were shooting some footage with the Florida State basketball team. But we had been, Eddie and I, my friend and my comedy music partner, we had played the Florida State football stadium like 4 years prior before COVID. And it was super cool for us. And it was really large.
Yeah.
And I remember I ran around way too much because I thought since it's big, I need to run everywhere.
Utilize.
And yeah. I was out of breath the whole time. And I remember thinking, I don't need to go touch everybody literally, but I really struggled with the largeness because I feel like I need to do more to be larger. And it was totally. The exact opposite. And I probably was terrible because I couldn't breathe the whole time.
Yeah.
Because I thought, I'll just run and have all this energy to equal the size of the place. And then another thing was I would get distracted because if a place that big, everybody's not going to be paying attention.
Yeah. Well, and especially with comedy, like that would be tough to, I mean.
Well, we're doing music comedy there. When I do stand up, it's different. I don't let anybody get out of their seat. But music, we're playing football stadiums and people are going to get beers and stuff and I'm insulted. I'm like,
are
you up?
I totally get it.
But I shouldn't be insulted.
Yeah.
That's part of the.
It's part of the thing. But I get it. I get it. I will say with a with a room that big, it's harder to notice people leaving and moving around.
Like this, like I can kind of like zone out. Oh, I'm the opposite.
You notice.
In a small room, there's only like a club or a small theater. Like I have everybody in my vision right
you
now.
You kind of focus on the, yeah.
Well, but nobody can do anything. That's so small. I see anybody on the room. I look around. And
do you call people?
I try to find people leaving so I can be sad. Yeah, I think that's what I do. I hunt sadness. So I try to find people.
Hey, I get it.
I was talking with Kip Moore once, not on air or anything, and he was like, how do you, and I'm not the guy to ask, but he's like, how do you deal with if people don't laugh or if seats are empty?
Yeah.
And I'm like, not well. Like, not at all. And he said, well, what do you do? Because he got really mad because some guy wouldn't look up when he was playing a show or like wouldn't get off his phone. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you know Kip at all, but Kip's a very emotional guy. And Kip and I definitely had our run-ins early in my career here, but then we kind of got each other and now we're great.
Yeah.
And I said, sometimes those people that look like they're enjoying it the least are the ones that actually are loving it the most. We don't all react the same way to things we enjoy. And I said, I look at people's foreheads too, because I don't want to see people laughing or not laughing, because I don't want to judge how I'm doing based on their mouth, because I don't laugh when I'm watching it. If something's funny, I'm like, that is funny.
Or you're kind of like,
but, and I think it's really funny, but I'm not slapping my leg, but yet I expect everybody to slap their leg if
okay,
I'm
funny. That's a great point.
So I look at foreheads and I kept, like 2 weeks later, he's like, hey man, I just did a show somewhere. And he goes, this dude would not look up. He looked like he was having a miserable time. He said, and this dude ended up coming back after the show. And I was like, why would you even want, he's like, man, I almost cried. It was so good. And the guy that Kip would have been really mad at because he wasn't paying attention, he was. He was just doing it in a way that was how he communicated.
Yeah, you're so right. I probably should think about that more because I'm the same. Like, for me, it's like I want people to cheer after the first chorus. It's like when you hear the hook for the first time, like I want cheering. And when I don't get it, I'm like, I'm terrible. You're so right. Some people just... They show it differently. And I remember one time I was playing, I don't remember where, somewhere in Georgia, but it was this tiny, tiny crowd. There was barely anybody there. And that's awkward. Like, it's tough to play when there's nobody there. It's
too much connection.
Too much. You don't want to freak people out.
Yeah. And where do you look? Because if you look at any one person and there's just a few, it's all weird. Yeah.
And then you end up accidentally looking at them the whole show because you just feel like, okay, I've got someone. And then I have to like tell them I'm sorry
that's
for being
funny.
Creepy. But there was at this show, I was this one guy, like this like big dude. He was like probably in his 50s. Like he looked like a dad and he's like this big old guy. And, you know, he was sitting down the whole time. And after like a chorus or after a song, I like saw him go like, he like nodded in approval. And that was the best thing to me because that... Something about like a big guy not showing emotion.
Convincing somebody that shouldn't be convinced.
Yes. I felt so. Yeah. And then the rest of the show was like, that is all that I wanted.
That's awesome. your sets, when you go out and so you'll be with Morgan. Who else is on that, on your show? Who's doing that? Like
there's a lot of different.
Who's
in
the middle? Who's after
ones?
You? Are they changing that up too?
Well, it'll be for most of my shows, it's me, Nate Smith, and Bailey. And then Earn is sprinkled into some of those.
Earn is always sprinkled into some of that, yeah.
But for me, that's the main lineup for my shows, other than like a few exceptions.
And how will you play 30? How long do you play usually on those Morgan shows?
It's going to be between 25 and 30 minutes.
That's a pretty good that's a good amount of time for a first. I know, obviously, you want to go and do an hour, and you do your own club shows. I'm sure you do 80 minutes, whatever it is.
Yeah.
How do you decide what you're going to do in the super efficient set?
Yeah, well, it's really hard because when I play with my band, I love to, like you said, I love to play an hour, even 45 minutes. But when you're in an arena that size and nobody knows me yet, I want to be digestible. You don't want to go, it was the perfect amount of time where people still care. And then you go over that and it's like, all right, who's next? Like we got it. And so I don't know. Honestly, the songs that are streaming the best, I'll definitely do. The songs I know people have heard and that like they've been reacting to the best. But I want to sprinkle in a couple new ones. So it'll probably be like, 25 minutes for me is maybe 6 songs.
The good thing about the new songs, though, if you're an artist that most people aren't familiar with yet, is they don't know the difference in new and...
Yeah, exactly.
But if you're like an artist that has songs and you're throwing new ones in...
That's hard.
That's when it sucks.
Yeah, I can get away with sprinkling one or two.
Because you want to always do new music.
Yeah.
But I think Garth is the best I've ever seen do that, where he might play one. But he also has to hit. Garth's not the same as anybody else.
Yeah.
However, he just knows people came to hear the songs that they know for the most part.
Yeah, it's true.
And there's very few. Like, if John Mayer plays new stuff, I usually like it because I'm just such a big John Mayer
fan. His fans are that. He has that kind of crowd where they are hanging on every word they want to know.
Or Casey. I like. If
I would love
doing,
to do anything new from her. I'll
yes, if she's doing like a song that's. But most artists, if I'm just a semi fan, they do new stuff. Like, I'll wake me up.
You get bored.
Minutes.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a fact. Yeah. It's true.
What do you start with?
Start with Fine County Line.
And then is that every show, or will you switch it
every
up?
Every show, typically every show. Start with that.
Why? Why that one?
It just has good energy, and it's out. People have, you know, heard it by chance, so it just has good energy. It's like a fun song to start with, and it gets my band loves, like, we just get it, gets us in a good place.
Let's take a quick pause for a message from our sponsor.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah, that's what the whole store basically is, fresh leather,
yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com.
Tecovas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only 6 numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833.
Welcome back to the Bobbycast.
Who's been with you the longest of your band?
The longest is my guitar, Wade.
And how long's Wade been with you?
A little over a year.
Oh, that's 50% of your time here, though. Back, I would say that's
yeah.
Pretty long.
No, he's been my tried and true. He's awesome.
Does he handle the awkward stuff for you if it's an issue with somebody that he goes and takes care of it?
Like, you mean like
other members of the band? No, like other members.
If
the drummer's fighting with the bassist, this is a hypothetical. Who handles it?
That's a great question. I'll be honest. My band, they love each other.
For now.
They do. Yes, for now.
But even people that love each other get in fights.
I would say the mediator would probably be my bass player. He's very even keel. He's cool. He'd probably be the mediator.
I have tour manager or Eddie. Hey, man, I don't want to go fight with him. I need you to go.
At this point,
I only have so much energy.
Exactly.
And I don't.
You need to be creative and be able to.
I say that. I could do it, but I don't want to do it.
Yeah, I don't have much energy for it anymore either.
Do you know what would be fun? I don't know. Morgan, you met Morgan earlier.
I did.
If you're in town on April 30, you should come to the Ryman and play a couple songs in our, we do a show once a year.
Heck yeah.
The $1 million show. We haven't really announced, when's the lineup getting announced?
On Monday.
Okay, so it'll already be announced by this?
Yes.
Okay, so Nate Smith, Sam Hunt, John Party. Go ahead, Morgan.
Ian.
Who?
Ian.
Ian Munsick. Go ahead.
Edwin McCain
from like the 90s. I will be your crying shoulder. You know that song?
Yeah, I do.
Ben Rector, Matt Carney.
Oh my gosh.
Matt Carney. So, who else?
Megan Maroney.
Oh, Megan Maroney.
What a lineup.
Yeah, I inspired all of them to be who they are. So they come out and
totally.
We do my band. And my band, Eddie and I are the two, but we have basically awesome session players because mm-hmm. we do so few shows as a full band.
Yeah.
But every year we do this big show for St. Jude. If you're in town, and don't commit yes or no here because I'll think we're just doing a bit anyway. So I will not allow you to commit. I'm just going to text Nicole because she texted me a minute ago and just be like, hey, I invited Lauren to play the $1 million show if she wants to come and do a couple songs. You are invited to come and play a couple songs at the Ryman. It'll be sold out. It'll
oh
awesome.
My gosh. I've never played the Ryman before.
That's
so
great.
That would be
I'm not letting you
amazing.
Commit or say no because you might not even be in town.
Okay.
Let me say
But if
let me say
I am.
No, I don't even want to hear that.
I'm looking at your tour calendar right now.
You have our tour calendar?
I'm looking on your website.
Oh,
you have a show the next night.
Oh, no. Where is it?
In Indianapolis with Morgan Mullen.
The next night, though?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
We drove to Indy. I don't know.
I feel like we can make this work.
Hold on.
We'll talk.
Let me text Nicole because she literally just texted me. I know she's not the person, but I just want to put it on her
radar
because this is not a bit. It's my point. This is not a bit. Anything I do out of this circle is not a bit. Okay.
Well, I'm honored that you would ask me that.
Hey, Nicole.
Awesome.
I'm sitting here and... we're talking about life and you know how I do. And Lauren and I, we're about to finish. We've done an hour. And I invited Lauren to play the $1 million show this year with us at the Ryman on April 3rd. I told her she can't say yes or no to me right now because we're recording and I feel like it was a bit regardless of what she said. So I'm going to leave this with you. I'm recording this too, by the way.
Hey, girl.
There she is. That's the real Lauren. And I know she has a show with Morgan on the 4th, but it's April 3rd. And the $1 million show this year is Megan Maroney, Sam Hunt, John Party, Carney, Ben Rector, Nate Smith, Ian Munsick. I don't want to forget anybody, but I don't know. We would
it's
love
a pretty good list, right?
We would love for Lauren to come play two songs with us. So you guys can have that talk and let me down easy if she can't. Although Indianapolis is not Hawaii, it's not that far. but okay, cool. All right, thanks. Bye. All right.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I'm not going to say anything, but
send it over. We can call her afterward. But I just don't want you to be like, yeah. Then you're like, I had to say yeah. It's like when someone gets proposed to.
I felt pressured into saying yes.
Yeah, it's like the kiss cam. You don't want to be kiss cam. You're like, oh, I got to kiss the dude I'm sitting next to because the kiss cam put it on me.
You're like, it's a pity kiss.
Yes.
Well, listen, if I can make that work,
okay.
I would love to do
that. We'd love
thank
to
have you. Thank you for it. Seriously, thank you. That would be so awesome.
So if she says yes, though, soon we have to add her to the page. We just built the image. We just built the image. Yeah, no rush though. Hey.
What's kind of the structure of the show? Is it like, so what am I getting into?
It's whatever you want. The structure. Did those mics work?
Yeah.
Morgan, can you hop on a mic? The structure.
Honestly,
it's
out of my curiosity because
that works.
This
I can hear you.
Stuff.
We have I have full band, on the Ryman, and the band never leaves, but it's like a 7 or 8 piece band.
Uh-huh.
Morgan, go ahead.
When we
Mic doesn't work now.
Okay.
Now it's on. Now it's off.
Are you
now
serious?
It's on.
Okay. When we make the ask to different artists, mm-hmm. we say, hey, we're going to have you come play 2 to 3 songs with our house band, the Raging Idiots. They can play either both songs or mm-hmm. one song. You could play solo acoustic on one, but it's pretty light lifting. And then we'll have a rehearsal day that you could show up to.
If you want to.
Sounds so
But
fun.
The band is so good.
Of course
we don't even deserve them. The band is so good. They've been so loyal. It's Brett's drummer. It's That's Ryan awesome. Medora, who's like writes for Bassist Magazine. Mm-hmm. It's like a really great group.
Well, that's awesome. Thank
you're more than welcome. And our band never, you just slide in and out.
Yeah.
It's just instant change.
That'll be my first time at the Ryman.
It's still Brett's drummer this year, or do we change it?
No, same drummer.
Okay, cool. Well, listen, this is awesome. It's really cool to finally meet you
Dude,
in
thank
person.
Thank you so much.
Like,
it's, so
like
good
I said,
to
I've been
too.
A big fan of your, just how you do your music.
Thank you.
And I was actually talking.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more, all Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. T-E-C-O-V-A-S.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the kids at St. Jude. St. Jude's been leading the way in the world's best survival rates for some of the most aggressive forms of childhood cancer. Your support means that families never get a bill from St. Jude for treatment or travel or housing or food, so the families can focus on helping their child live. And that really hits home for me because I've been to St. Jude many times. I've hung out with the kids, played music for the kids. I was in the hospital a lot as a kid. Now, I didn't have cancer, but if it wasn't for people stepping up, I don't know that I would have been able to go and stay in the hospital and be taken care of. So that's why we do this, to take care of others. You can help St. Jude stop childhood cancer by becoming a partner in hope. When you do this, you'll get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. So join all the doctors and researchers, you know, and me in this fight, and just text the word Bobby to 785-833. It's only 6 numbers, but text the word Bobby to 785-833. Oh, bleep that. I was actually talking with a friend of mine about you, and he was going through people and was like, what about this person? And this is after I'd said your name. He just wanted to run people by me as well. Mm-hmm. And I said, I think the difference in Lauren and the 2 or 3 people he named, and all were great. I said, the difference is I had to invest a bunch of time with them to realize, yeah, I like them. But I didn't have to invest that much time with you because I felt like your voice, not just your singing voice, but like your voice, who you are, what you're saying, felt so authentic and a bit edgy that it felt so real that I just knew I liked your sound and what you were saying immediately.
Thank you.
Or I would have known I didn't like it, but I think that's yeah. Where it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just not being
you're in or
vanilla.
You're out.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. That is, I mean, seriously, that's the biggest compliment to me. That is really, really sweet.
And especially, I wouldn't recommend you to a friend if I didn't think you were awesome.
Totally. I know you mean that, and you're so genuine, and I really, like, I'm a fan of yours too. So like we were saying earlier.
No, you don't have to say that, and I don't believe that. This is a bit. Don't do the bit. I don't want to hear the bit. I don't want to hear this bit.
I was going to make a great point, but.
Go ahead. Make a great point, but not about me. Because I won't believe
okay.
you.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, like earlier, we were talking about like being in Nashville and when somebody who you have been a fan like approves of you and says, hey, I believe in you. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're one of those people for me. Like there's so many, which I'm sure you've felt that too with other people, like where somebody approves of you. That
only
you
one, a new artist named Eric Church. And I believed in him from the beginning.
Ooh!
He was the only one that I, no, but yes, I think you're going to be here for a long time being very successful.
Thank you.
And mostly because the way you did it.
Hope you're right.
Because some people, if they wanted you to be a flash and a splash, they could have already had that with you. They could have done a cliche.
I hope you're right. I'm trying to.
I feel that
even
way.
If it's a slow build, yeah. I want it to be lasting.
That's the key.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be so lasting because I think you're so good. So I really appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.
At Lauren.Watkins is Instagram and TikTok. It's just Laura Watkins on TikTok. I think I saw. Is there an A on it or no?
No, it's Laura under. I don't know.
I think it's dot two, but there's no A.
No, it's just Laura L A U R.
But the Instagram has A.
Yeah, well, Instagram is lauren.watkins.
And the other one's lar.watkins.
Yeah.
Can you get the A on the TikTok?
No, people just call me Lar.
But then why not do Lar on Instagram?
I don't know.
You need to go question all your people.
I don't know.
I had a real hard time with
I
that.
I try not to think too hard about social media, but sometimes it can be.
Well, get on your phone more. That's my resolution for you is to be on your phone more.
I know. Screw my resolution.
Hey, Mike, anything for Lauren?
Oh, that was awesome.
See there you go.
Ryman.
Yay.
No. She did not say yes, and I'm not making her feel pressured to say yes.
We'll see you at the Ryman.
But it would be really cool.
I'm so down.
You want to see the artwork for it? And then we'll
Yeah. Well, also, that show.
Wait, go ahead.
Are we?
No, we're still going. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then I won't say.
So that's all the people's names are behind us. That's so cool. And don't judge us by our name.
No, I love it.
It's our seventh one.
That's us.
So we'll add your name to it if you say yes. But if you don't, that's okay. We'll delete this whole episode. What, Mike?
Okay, I'll delete it.
Yeah. What were you going to say? Or do you want to say it after we're off?
I guess I shouldn't.
We can.
Well, it's just about, I could go to that because we're taking a bus.
I said don't say yes.
I know.
Even if you said it when we turn the mics off, it doesn't count because it's still in this.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So
I'm shutting
we're
up.
We're done.
Over and out.
Great to meet you.
Great to meet you too.
I'll see you around for a long time. It's really awesome. For sure. All right. Lauren.Watkins on Instagram. Laur.Watkins on TikTok. All right. There she is.
Thanks for listening to a Bobbycast production.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.